Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this is a show about understanding how life works so we can help it work better. We all want to help our lives work better. And we don't always know how. So there's a book, actually, that I've been reading. I read it a couple of weeks ago, and I loved it so much. It was very enriching. It helped me understand the dynamics of how to make things happen for you. And it sounds simple, but the book is beautifully written and helps you understand the dynamic of it. It's called The Prayer Chest. And it's actually a novel. It's a story about a family and their struggles and how they work through them. And to help talk about this subject matter today is the author of The Prayer Chest, who's in the studio, August Gold. August, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here and we can talk about the richness of prayer. And all of us want to use prayer successfully. We think that there must be something to it. It's been around forever. Why doesn't it work better?
Is that the opening question?
Well, yeah, yes. That's all right. It is. What would you like to say about that?
I would say you're absolutely right. Everybody, regardless of who they are and the faith they are born into, prays in some form or fashion at some point in their life. And what keeps us oftentimes thinking that our prayer isn't answered is not that we're not asking for the right things. It's what happens after we put the prayer out, after we speak it or wish it or hope it or dream it. We forget that the universe or life or God is simultaneously responding in that conversation we've just entered.
In another language, though.
In the
that
language
we don't
of
understand.
Life itself. Right, exactly. In the language of life itself.
Humans are still quite limited. I think we're moving into a time where we're opening up to higher awareness. In the meantime, we're very linear.
Mm-hmm.
Cause and effect. Direct cause and effect. Mm-hmm. So we put something out there, we want the direct effect.
We want to see the direct answer to that prayer. And if we don't see what we prayed for, we assume it's not being answered. But what we need to learn is that prayer is answered in two ways. Either we receive exactly what we prayed for, and we can recognize that, or, more importantly, we receive what stands in the way of our being able to receive the answer to the prayer.
I'm thinking of a client I had years ago who wanted to be married. And she was religious, and she was praying for it. And I, as an intuitive, I actually could see that she was going to meet this guy of her dreams very shortly, like within 2 months. And I told her that. And normally I don't like to do that kind of profiting. It's forecasting the future is very often very inaccurate because there are a lot of other things to understand about it. So, but I did feel very strongly that she was going to meet the man of her dreams, and she did. And she called me back, and she was so happy. But unfortunately, she wasn't ready for him, and the whole thing became a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very open, very willing to work through all the problems, whatever. I mean, he was really the ideal guy, but she wasn't ready for an ideal guy.
Hmm.
And so we have to look at that in our lives. You know, how do we get in our own way?
See, and life helps us with that. Life, the answer to our prayer, we think, when I get the answer to my prayer, I'm going to be so happy. And what you're saying is, when I get to the place that I understand what stands in the way of receiving the answer to my prayer, which is something in me that keeps me smaller than life is inviting me to be, that's when real happiness comes. And that's the part of the conversation that life is always having with us, moving us into our wholeness, our completeness, or our greatness. But we don't like that answer. We don't want that answer. We want the other answer. We want what we want.
Well, it's kind of the way that people go about looking for partners in life, for instance, and they're always picking the wrong person. And why are they picking the wrong person? Because of childhood patterning, things that happened to them with their parents, how their parents behaved together or with them. And they taught them about life in difficult ways. So our survival mechanism gets going, and we keep on repatterning these difficult ways.
And that's Joseph's situation. He inherits a faith that doesn't work, a belief system that doesn't work for him, a fear-based belief system that totally doesn't work for him, and it leads him down the road of lack and loss and frustration.
But we don't know that.
Of course. That's where life comes in answer to our prayer, which is the deeper prayer. We come to life and we say, give me more. And what life hears, or God hears, is make me more.
More trouble.
Make me more. And make me more opens us up and grows us into the people who are able to hold the answer to the prayer.
Now, that's the right kind of prayer.
It's the one actually that works.
Right. Is bring me what I need to move me forward so that I can have more of what might feel good to me in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, it might not feel so good.
Indeed.
It might be trouble. In the book, there is trouble. This is a beautiful novel about a family that struggles, and they face some terrible hardship. And yet, there's an underlying principle here about trust and intention, or trusting intention, sticking with what you want, and being true to yourself,
even though
you might have habits and ideas that don't necessarily fit yet.
Yes.
But you yourself are holding a strong intention. I think intention, there's something about intention that's a little bit different than prayer. It's like, I remember in the old days when I was searching for a partner and I was very frustrated and I gave up one day. I just gave up. No more prayers. I said, it's okay with me not to have this life partner that I really want. It's okay. I'm going to be all right anyway.
And you're saying you surrendered.
I surrendered. Yeah. And within 20 minutes or half an hour of that moment, I met a woman who I've been with for 32 years.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't give up the intention, but I gave up the longing and the need.
Hmm.
And so I guess that was my lesson.
Well, the interesting thing about the prayer chest, the metaphor of the prayer chest in the book, is you put the prayer out into the universe. You put it in your heart. You fill it with desire. You intend it. You feel it. You know it. And then when you put it into the chest, the idea of that locked chest is you walk away from it. You surrender it. You release it, knowing that something greater than you, that higher power or deeper power, something bigger, universal, is then taking it and working with it while you go ahead back into your life to work as Joseph did, to work the farm, or to figure out how to pay for the mortgage on the farm, or how to take care of his kids. Once the prayer goes out, it's just what you said. Once you surrender it, there's tremendous power in trusting that the answer will come, even if it doesn't look as you imagine it will.
Well, I think the greatest healing in life is to be okay anyway. And I think part of our problems in life is that deeper need, that desire that creates suffering. In Buddhism, it's, we're always going to suffer as long as we keep pushing our desire. So if we can surrender and be okay anyway, It's hard to do that.
It's hard to do that when, like Joseph, or, for example, like many people these days, are so close to homelessness. There's one paycheck between them and not having a home, which was his story. And there's so many people I've met in my work, people who have lost so much, and they are in true and deep and scary crisis. And it's hard to surrender in that moment. Sometimes that prayer of help me helps them feel as if something or someone or spirit itself might answer, because they have reached the end of trying to make things work themselves. Joel Goldsmith, the great teacher, said our first life is doomed to fail. And on the surface, it looks like a horrible prediction. But what he's saying is the way in which we've been doing our life, trying to do it all by ourselves, that's going to fail one day. And we're going to learn that we can't do it all by ourselves. It's not possible. In fact, we're not supposed to.
Well, the future is communal. We are going to be building better communities that work on a smaller scale and work better for us. But we got to get there first.
Well, I think what you said earlier in our talk before we went on the air was that we're moving into a different time, a different consciousness in the world. Slowly but surely, we're edging that way. And careers, which is how we've all been raised to believe, we can do our career without any help from anyone. Our destiny, however, requires others.
Right. It's all this sense of sharing and community, and we need more of that on a richer, heartfelt scale. Right now, everyone's in their heads, and it's all about material and for good reason. We do need income. We do need to survive in a world that's become very material, and we need to shift that consciousness. But in the meantime, it's tough.
True. And what's interesting about answered prayers, when we put a prayer out, it seems so selfish. Like, I, me, 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 give me this. Joseph said, take care of my kids. It was a very earnest and humble and needful prayer. But the interesting thing about prayer in the book, the metaphor is, not only was his prayer answered by him following the principles of prayer, but it also began to touch the lives of everyone in his community, and everybody began to have their prayers, their higher prayers, answered because he allowed it to come through him.
Community was created by this.
Wonderful, yes.
And actually, that's how I look at the suffering out there of people who are lost. And those people are lost because they haven't created community. A lot of people are out there going, I don't know, I'm going to be homeless. But then there are also a lot of people who are about to be homeless, but they know they have friends who will support them for a while. And they have friends and family, and not everybody does. A lot of people are living very singular lives, mm-hmm. and that's very hard to do.
It's hard to do, especially if that original connection, that very primal connection to the source of our life, to the creator of the creation that we are, to God itself, if we haven't activated that connection. And what Joseph did was, that's what had to get right in his life first. When he began to pray in a different way, he began to access a faith that was entirely different than the one he was raised to believe. It was an authentic faith, a genuine one that was personal and direct to him. He had to find it for himself.
So describe the different way.
The different way
that Joseph prayed.
The different way, he went up in the book, he went up to the attic, and he believed that in the attic, with all of the possessions that his family had handed down and stored there, he believed in the power of things, that there was magic in the power of the things of his family up in the attic. And up in the attic is a metaphor for up in our head. We go up into our head and we have our relationship there with our God. And what he discovered was that it's an empty faith. It's a belief in the things outside of him rather than the belief in something within. as the Tao Te Ching says, within, this is where the world's treasure has always been. And it wasn't until he had his breakdown, as so many of us have to have. What breaks down is our old way of life. And on the flip side of that is the breakthrough to that clear space where we can begin to see that it's not outside of me, it's inside of me. And once he recognized what he was seeking was inside of him, it changed his faith entirely.
Last week's show was called Become the Second Coming.
Great title.
So that's what it is. We are finding our inner sacredness and realizing that's what makes us whole.
Yes.
And therefore, we don't, like Joseph started praying for his children. He wasn't praying for himself so much as his children, but that then again the universe would come through and support him in helping his children, because that's what his children needed. So he got the help, but he got it because his heart was out there. He was okay anyway. He had surrendered.
That's what a breakdown is.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant thing that happens to many of us. However, the culture looks at us and says, you're so weak, you're having a nervous breakdown, this is a bad thing. And we get guilty and we're ashamed of it, when in fact it's life's way of helping us let go of what doesn't work and hasn't worked for the longest time. But let me add one thing, because you said he prayed for his children. His children put a prayer into the prayer chest as well, and theirs seemingly was for such a silly thing that they wanted, and their prayer was answered as well. They prayed for toys. That was one of their prayers. They wanted toys.
That's what children need to pray for.
Right.
We want them to pray for anything that makes them happy. Childhood is a time where there should be such joyfulness
and
innocence
too.
And whatever turns them on, certainly we have to guide them and teach them values, but in uplifting ways. So let's want toys for children, and the book is a lot about that.
It is true, but the interesting thing is they not only got the toys that brought them a joyful, more joyful and hardworking childhood, because they had to work to build those toys, but the toys also entered Joseph's life. So what you're saying about childhood, mm-hmm. I believe, is essential for adulthood, for us to return to that joyfulness that we had, because that is not simply something, the domain of children. It is something that is missing from the domain of adulthood.
Well, but then we turn it into such material joy as, bigger and faster cars.
Oh, that's
cars.
That's a different joy. Those are things. That's not joy.
Okay.
Exactly. And you're right. There is a difference.
We're not innocent anymore. Children are innocent. And they're learning about life through what they play with. Those toys are mechanical, they do things, dolls and trucks and whatever it is, they learn from that. So those are joyful, but they're also teaching tools.
Mm. And the prayer, when we work with prayer, we think that our highest thought is, give me this thing I need so that I will feel complete and the situation will be healed or fixed. But what happens in the book time and time again for every character is that they don't get that specific thing they need. They get the essence of that thing that is so much grander and greater, that makes them expand as people, and that makes their lives reach out and touch other people. Joseph wanted to be a carpenter. It was his highest thought to build a table, to build a chair. Life looks at Joseph and says, oh my God, you can build things. You can build and create joy in people's lives who have no joy. Now, to be a carpenter or to be someone who works with wood to bring joy into the lives of thousands, wow, those are two different answers to a prayer.
Yeah, and that's the point, is that what is it that helps grow not only your own light, but the light of all those around you? And so our prayers really should be directed towards that result in the end. I mean, it would be smarter to go about that rather than to go inch by inch along the material path until we're taught the lesson of the larger prayer of love, of self-love and loving others.
But I think we get there. I think prayer answered prayer takes us there step by step.
It does it anyway.
It does it anyway organically.
I was just offering a shortcut.
But we can't pray for others when our needs are so great. It then becomes the right prayer to pray, but not the true one. Not the organic one that's coming from our needy, frightened, scared
right.
soul.
We need to feel whole.
Yeah. And so the beauty of prayer is that when we put it out, life, we enter into the conversation with life, and sometimes people call, it's easier to call prayer a conversation, because life is already in conversation with us. When we put the prayer out, the third principle in the prayer chest is so exquisite and so different than what we would imagine. The third principle, or the third secret of prayer, this new way Joseph learned to pray, was not to speak his prayer differently, but how to become responsive to the answer when it begins to come. And the third right. principle was welcome everything. Because the moment we pray, life, which is in constant conversation with us, is going to be responsive to our prayer. And we need to open the door when it brings us the person, the place, the thing, the situation, whatever it is, even if it looks like we have to let go of something.
Well, we have no idea how small our minds have become. And so what this is letting go of what we think it should look like. Because that comes from limited thinking.
We get scared when something, we're praying to get something and we lose something. We lose a marriage or we lose our job or we lose our home. It seems like this is a bad thing that's happening or the wrong thing that's happening. And what that principle says is that everything that happens to you after you have put your prayer out and surrendered it is part of the answer to the prayer. Like the woman you spoke about, she needed to have some healing done on the inside of her to feel ready and to become worthy and deserving of a man who wanted to love her so fully.
Right.
And life would have helped to give her that in answer to her prayer.
Sure. And so that's why we have to surrender, because we're really not smart enough for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can be smart for other people, but we all have our own lessons to learn, and we have to allow those lessons to bump us along a bit.
And you know what? I think welcome everything is the Buddhist way of saying I surrender. Surrender is such a charged and scary word, saying I welcome everything, or as Pema Chodron says, I agree with whatever comes, allows right. us to let what life needs to do to grow us, to let it do.
That's beautiful.
Without resisting it.
And that's the point. And yet, we're facing a very difficult world right now, and it's too easy to get caught up in limitation.
And the fear.
Right. And mm-hmm. yet, it's all there for a good reason, because these systems haven't worked. They're breaking down. The economy is breaking down. It hasn't worked. And now we have to create a new one.
Same as in our life. Whatever right. doesn't work in our life, life will help us. God will help us break down to be replaced with something that is truly sound.
And not to judge anything. I mean, that's the hardest part.
Especially ourselves.
Right. Mm. Sometimes we really have to scrape the bottom of the barrel a little bit.
Yeah, hitting bottom.
Yeah.
Indeed. And that's a great place to be.
Yeah. Because it's only up from there.
You know, the first, and let me just add this, because it is also so different in the way that Joseph prays in the second part of his life after he's hit his bottom, is that he finds that the answer to prayer doesn't come to him. In order for him to receive the answer to his prayer, he has to allow it to come through him. And that is a big difference, understanding that we are the doorway between, quote-unquote, metaphorically, heaven and earth. That it's got to move through us, so whatever obstacles are standing within us that stand in the way of receiving the answer to the prayer, those have to be moved out of the way. It's not something that's going to happen to someone else in our life to change. The change is going to happen within us, in order for us to be bigger enough to receive the answer to the prayer.
That's extremely powerful. That's such an important message, is to allow the unfolding. Mm. to bump along with it. To say, well, maybe this is getting me where I want to go. Sure, it doesn't feel good.
Right.
I'm very unhappy. It looks like a big disappointment. But who knows?
Well, I'll tell you the one statement that changed my life. When I understood what God's will was for me, not for anybody else, and Joseph's faith is his faith, and we all have got to find our own authentic faith, I found a definition of God's will that I use to this day in the Tao Te Ching, the small Taoist philosophy of life, 81 verses. It says, all of life is a movement toward our perfection. And the Greek root of the word perfection is wholeness, completeness.
Mm-hmm.
All of life, as you say, is bumping us along, moving us along. All of life is a movement. Every experience, every person, every place, everything we encounter is moving us toward completing us, toward our whole selves. So we can rest assured that what is happening to us is not happening to us. It's actually happening for us.
I love that. And I noticed that in the literature about you, that sentence, and it hit me very deeply that we are so two-oriented instead of four-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Victim-oriented.
Yeah,
victim
exactly.
Consciousness is epidemic.
Right.
And if life is a conversation, and you're saying, why is this happening to me? The conversation ends right there. Because, of course, it's not happening to you.
Right.
The moment you say, why is this happening for me, a very different question, you enter the conversation with life, and that's a question life can answer.
What's happening here is the release of judgment.
Mm.
That's getting that victim mentality out of the way. You're not judging right or wrong, good or bad. You're allowing this dynamic unfolding into the unknown, but expecting wholeness out of it.
Yes. And knowing that that's the will of life, that's the way of life, that's the flow of life. It leads all of nature, including human nature, to its greatest unfoldment. Then we're not as afraid of what is brought to us. We don't resist it as much because we know it's not coming with dangerous intent. It's coming to grow us, which is often uncomfortable, often scary, always unknown, but it's coming with the intention of growing us. And how else can it do it except push us out of our comfort zone and remove the way in which we cling to our small patterns and beliefs and lives and actions that keep us from receiving the bigger dreams and the bigger wishes and the bigger desires we're actually praying for.
Right. And yet we still have to remain unconditional. Because as soon as we start adding conditions to it, then we start limiting ourselves again. And then we go back into potential suffering. So it's not that we just get to our goal, it's that we start living differently.
Mm-hmm. I think answered prayer insists, it leads us into living differently. We can't help but live differently once we know the answer to the prayer comes through us.
Right.
We're the ones who then are changed.
Right, and allow it to continue moving through us, not to say, okay, I got what I want.
Oh, right, I see what you're saying. Exactly, it doesn't end.
Exactly, right. But we do want people, we want an end to this show coming up to inform people to buy the prayer chest.
Yes.
That's an end we want. How can people find you and the prayer chest?
They can find me on AugustGold, my name, .net, AugustGold.net. They can find, they can purchase the prayer chest through the website. They can purchase it on Amazon or any of the major bookstores. And if they want, on my website, there are a number of free talks that are available.
Oh, wonderful.
To help speak to this way of thinking.
Great.
And this way of walking in the world.
Wonderful. August, thank you so much for being on Energy Stew.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Oh, good. Me too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.